Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
If you've been hurt in a road accident that wasn't your fault, you should really talk to G4 Claims first. Unlike road accident solicitors, we don't charge you for our services, which could see you better off. To keep 100% of your compensation, have a chat with Nicole and the team. You'll be glad you did. Search online for G4 Claims.
Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selick the Thunder podcast, episode number 81, and we've got the toys back in town, we've got the two cameras set up. He's all smiling away and saying nothing. He's about to cheer or something.
Absolutely not.
That's rude. Hello, welcome back, it's episode 81 as I said.
Essentially, it was quite simple. Basically, I want you to try and guess the top scorer from the 1980... to 81 season, if you think that you can get it.
McCluskey. I just said that because that was the answer.
He was the answer to the last one. I'll tell you what, he's not the answer to this one. Any guesses to the other side of the table? Who it could
I
be?
I don't even know this a game we were doing.
Nah, it's just until we get another shot number coming up.
Fair enough.
Ryan, you got any clues?
I'd like a clue.
Have you got any ideas?
No, none at all.
Ah, well, the answer actually is the late, great Frank McGarvey. Mm. He was the top scorer with 23 goals in the league and 29 goals in all competitions. Quite an impressive number, to say the least. Celtic won the league that year. We finished top of the table with 56 points in our 36 games. And Aberdeen finished second, Rangers finished third.
Well,
so there you go. The more you know. If you've got a pub quiz sometime soon in relation to the top scorer that season, then you now know it.
But wait, that's a specific pub quiz.
It's the Celtic 1980-81 pub quiz. But hello, welcome back. It's Derby preview time.
Again.
There's still two.
See, we're saying that now, but there's two in the next fucking month.
I know, there's got to be.
Meant lightly.
Got to be three preview shows this month, eh? So get your innuendos ready.
And three of the cliches. Who wants a bear on a day?
No, you can't tell. His form goes out the windy. It's a big fucking windy, this. There's not enough form going out in the season. Anyway, it's time. This one is effectively a chance now for Celtic to seal the fate of the league title. I haven't even introduced you. I haven't even asked how you're keeping. I'm terrible. Kieran, how are you keeping?
Awful.
Oh, that's what happens when you don't address it. Are you alright though?
I know. Fine.
Seen you earlier today doing some uni work. How was that?
I know, bad. Doing it at Celtic Park. Also up at Nicola Sturgeon's gaff filming.
Were you digging?
Aye. Proper scumbag journalism.
Well, take a guess. What do you think's underneath the layers of tents and everything? What do you think's under there?
Couldn't even tell you.
Knickers.
I thought you were going to actually ask what he thinks underneath her clays, and I was like, Ryan, behave yourself.
Jesus.
Well, I start the podcast. Right, McGinley, how you doing?
I don't know after that, to be honest. I've got this really, really weird thought in my head, but I'm going to try and get away from it. I'm all right. Week to go until our dissertations are due, so just bringing that on you. But apart from that, I'm all right. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. Aye.
Good.
Bring it on.
Nice. Callum, yourself?
Not too bad. Just working away.
How's your work been?
Not too bad. My bad, I was in the other week.
Again?
I had a woman come up and ask him how much a beach towel was. She was mortified the minute she realised, because it was in the cold, so he'd let his hood up.
Aye.
I'm like, fair enough, he's trying to keep his cell to his cell, whereas we're doing the shirt prints, and woman goes to come up, because we've all got black hoodies on for work anyhow, so she's obviously just assumed he works here. Aye. He's up and just on her face. Throw it. I felt terrible.
It's not every day you ask early or bad how much the towels are every year or bad, is it? But that's good. Nice stories. Nice to keep up with you then. But it's Derby week. As I was going to say, essentially, the chance now for Celtic to kind of secure a league title. Kieran, this is a big game. Celtic win, they go 12 points clear. How you feeling?
I mean, the importance of the game can't be stressed enough. I mean, the prospect of going 12 points clear would it be 7 games left?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that would all but seal it. So, I mean, I thought people on the other side of the city had resigned that there wasn't a title race, but now supposedly this is the title decider. So, I'm happy to bring on the title decider.
Yeah, Ryan, there's a wee bit of chat going on if Rangers can somehow muster a win here that maybe, just maybe, they get themselves back into a title fight. What do you make of that conversation?
It's a bit weird. I thought that, like Kieran, I thought the league was over. I thought they'd resigned themselves to the cups or whatever. But aye, it seems as if they've talked their way into things again, which is fine, which means we can just go out and beat them again. I'm confident for the game, as you would expect me to be. Yes. But
I'm not even looking forward to asking what your score prediction is.
Listen, we'll get to that at the end. But I'm looking forward to the game. I think it's a must not lose for us. If we draw or win, I think we've won the league. So that's just I want to go out and win the game, but as long as we don't lose, that's the main thing.
I feel like it's got the feel to it, this one each game last season.
That's what I was going to say. I was thinking a game in recent memory that I was about to say, what game was it? Was it last season or a few seasons ago?
That was after the split, to be fair.
I mean, it is kind of like that though, isn't it, Calum? Like, you know, if we go out and we just avoid defeat, then there's a very slim chance of us, I don't want to jinx anything, but the way that we've been playing this season, the rest of the games coming up, even in the split, they're winnable games for Celtic. So it is, you know, get through this, take home three points or 1 point, and the split should handle itself, you'd think.
Definitely. I think, as a point that was sort of touched on, it has been, they were still in the title race, we're in a rebuild, we're them now back in the title race. They're a bit all over the place, our side of the city, so I mean, let them do as they're doing, as you said. See if we do our job, get the 3 points up the road. I'm more than happy to wrap that up there.
I'd be absolutely buzzing if we can get up the road with the 3 points. It would kind of be the kind of summary of the season, wouldn't it, if we can finish off at Celtic Park against Rangers the way we started off at Celtic Park against Rangers. I don't know what yous are anticipating, but could this be, Richard Goff's came out and said that he fears another Parkhead pummeling. I think a lot of Celtic fans are confident something like that can. We'll come on to last week's performance in a moment, but Kieran, just in general, is this now a game that you head into thinking that we have that in our locker?
I mean, you'd like to think so, because I mean, obviously it was a closer game in the final. I thought we did dominate it pretty well, but I wasn't expecting a pure hammering in that game. But I mean, after that game, they'd already started talking about how they were resigned to the fact they got to get pummeled in the next game and all that. But even like days after that cup final, I said they'll talk themselves back into being world beaters by the time the next derby rolls around. And I wasn't wrong. All the talk of that boy Raskin and Cantwell and that, I mean, their excuse that for getting beaten in the final was that they weren't on the pitch. So if they two start, then we need to see what this talks about.
I think there's already talk that Raskin might be out, isn't there, because of it all quaking in their boots about Lundstrom.
Has he ever been in? Has he been in to be out?
I don't know. I don't keep up with him.
No, me neither.
So I couldn't tell you for certain, but I know that they've all been given it the whole, oh God, can't be bothered watching Lundstrom against Celtic again. This time last year, he was the player that was meant to lay
down
the law.
The best on earth, apparently.
Yeah, best on earth, and now they don't want him playing.
I really would love a statement win on Saturday. Just because of all the talk, I mean, they never learned a lesson after the cup finals, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, so, I don't know, it would just be nice to go out and silence them again properly.
Let's touch on us going into this game, because of course we're in a weird position where we are just back from the international break, but we're back from the international break and we didn't play all that well last week. We were poor, you could say, against Ross County. It took us our time to find goals. Ryan, you're shaking your head away. On you go, mate.
Do you not think we were poor?
Really? I think it was one of our worst.
It could have easily been 6 or 7-0.
Yeah, I get that, I think we just didn't take
our chances. But I thought in the second, apart from maybe like a 10-15 minute spell in the second half, I thought we played well.
What's everybody else think, Kieran?
I mean, I think it was pretty obvious. It was a game that Celtic were just kind of going through the motions for large parts of it. I don't think anybody could argue that, but I do think we're all a bit prone to, when things only go on rosy, we automatically get this thing like, you're like, fuck, we're not playing well, and the panic mode starts to set. And even though as calm as you're trying to remain, because you've got faith in the team to go and get the result, you've still got that internal thing in the back of your mind. And I think that was just playing on a lot of people, because people didn't have, certain players never had very good games last week, but then like it happened where O'Reilly never had a good game, and then people are talking about getting rid of him in the summer.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think we were poor to the extent where it's panic stations and it's tight, but I think I can hold my hands up and say I wasn't.
I don't think it was a stellar Celtic performance, but I mean, when you go to Ross County, it's a narrow wee pitch. Teams like that make it difficult for Celtic. That's their bread and butter. They're in a relegation dogfight, so it's like they're going to do everything they can. It's not like they're going to just roll out and let us play fucking silky football.
Why not?
I didn't think we were great, but I didn't think we were terrible either. It was one of those ones. But I think a lot of our fans expect perfection with a lot of these performances. I think it was, and away from home at Dingwall is always difficult. You look at how much we struggled last season, 96 minute win or whatever. But 2-0, it was pretty comfortable. Yeah, we scored at the end, but it should have been about 5 or 6 easily.
Cam, what do we need to do different from last week? Wait, take away opinions just now if you think it was one of the poor or whatever. Do you think that there's anything in particular last week that didn't work, or something that you would have changed from last week going into this game?
I don't know. I think the main thing that just wasn't going for us was, as much as you can say, finishing, but we just weren't clinical enough. Like, the Kyogo chance in the second half is through. Mm-hmm. Like, as a standard striker, you have to finish that. It's so simple. But then we've seen that for him even last season at points well, and this season.
Yeah.
He misses Sitter's left wing centre, but then he'll pull a little out of the bag, like for Dundee United.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hitting it for like 25, 30 yards. But how does he miss so many of them?
It's a weird one. That miss last week is genuinely one of the worst.
I know, it's shocking. That I've seen. I think he prefers when the ball gets whipped in at 100 mile. It's too much time to think about it.
It's very, absolutely. Callum touches on being more clinical. Obviously, we need to be more clinical. We need to put away chances like that. Rangers, stereotype. Here we go. Here's one of the cliche sayings. You can't get away with that in a derby game. You know, that's
I know, standard. But to be fair, he would have everybody in Celtic Park on his back if he'd done that. As much as you try and support a team, like, everybody would be fucking raging.
It takes me back to the one each last season where Celtic probably should have scored more, especially in the first half, if I remember rightly, and then the second half we did get punished, and we were nearly punished again because Sakala hit the post. So it puts it into perspective. You miss chances like that in a game against Rangers, then all it takes is one shot and goal, and then you're suddenly down or whatever.
I know, but it's just, you look at the games against Rangers, because I mean, in the last three games against them, it's been 3-0, 1-1, 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the games 3-0 up at half time. That's the sort of performance. You might blow them at the water straight away, but you can't go into the game expecting that's just going to happen. Rangers surely can't let that happen for a third time in 4 visits to Celtic Park. Mm-hmm. Their fans would go apeshit if they were 3 down at half time again. But I mean, that's the, they were, like, we're talking about being clinical. We were Merlin clinical the days, and even then it could have been far more.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in that 4-0 game, fucking McLaughlin gifted Turnbull a goal.
Oh, I forgot about that, actually. That's like, but you know, I think that's just a pure forgotten goal or something. Like, it just struggle to remember it actually happening.
I feel bad for Turnbull too, because that goal will be forgotten about, but it was just a laugh at the time, wasn't
it? Is that his only derby goal?
Yeah.
Well, but one that we all remember fondly. apparently. Let's talk about Celtic in a bit more depth, because team news isn't exactly where we'd want it to be, and I think we should start with a Mr. Rio Hatate, because he looks to be absent, and because you're such a big fan of him, Ryan McGinley, I'll start with you. Hatate doesn't seem to have appeared in the training videos, and it kind of looks like he won't be involved now. Take this with a pinch of salt. Charlie Nicholas was in the papers this week, and he said he heard from a source that he wouldn't be ready in time. So,
how does he know?
I don't know. You never reveal your sources, do you? You're a journalist, you should know this. So, right, if Rio Hatate's out, what are we thinking?
I think even if it's a half fit Rio Hatate, I don't think he should play. We need 100% fitness in this game. The fact that he's not been spotted in that, what was it, Lennox Town Unfiltered video for the 5 minutes, couldn't see him in the 5 minutes. I was looking for him, didn't see him. So my guess is that he's out. You don't want a guy coming in that's half fit for this sort of game. It's going to be high octane, regardless if there's any. The fact that there's no Rangers fans in there, it'll still be a grueling game. So if he's not 100% fit, then, I mean, midfield is a place that we're stacked in. We've got players that can do the business as well. I'd much rather, if Moyes fit, and I think he is fit, I think he was training, then I think he's just as important, to be honest, in this sort of game. I mean, you look at how he played in the 2-1 game last month or whenever it was. He absolutely strolled it. So we've got guys that can come in there and do and make a difference in the team. But it has gotten, Hatate is probably one of our best players, I would say. I don't think there's any controversy in saying that, but it's one of those ones we might need to do without him for this game, but hopefully he's back soon.
I hope he's back soon. And you kind of touched on Moy there. Cal, I'll come to you. Moy hopefully will be fit. We'll hear from Ange sometime this afternoon. He'll be speaking probably about 3 o'clock. Don't know what time this will be up exactly. He'll get his pre-match press conference. We'll get more of an update then. If Moy is out tomorrow, Callum, do you worry about the midfield? Is there anything? Because people have obviously been a bit tentative recently about Matt O'Reilly. Is Turnbull the quality we need? Are the other players, are Wata ready for a game like this? What's your thoughts about the midfield in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main one also with it being Hitati, but we look at the team on our side of the City in that cup final. Beale let two players declare themselves fit and went in, played them, they were nowhere near it, but whatsoever. So I really hope Ange doesn't get to that point and say, I'll let Rio call it if he's fit. As Ryan touched on, you don't want a half-fit Rio with Tati at all. We've seen it at points in his first season. He was very run down. He was not a shadow of the player he was, but he was nowhere near as good. Yeah. With Moy, I think it would be a massive miss. We have noticed that, even you look at Ross County last week, taking Hitati and Moy, it's that extra oomph of energy behind the team that you miss. I have liked seeing Awata in the team, but it has been nice to see him in there. I think if I'm going between O'Reilly and Turnbull, but as much as I don't want to say O'Reilly, I think just slightly takes it from me, if has to be a rater.
I thought he was quite good when he came on though, Turnbull, last week as well. I thought he, all the subs were good when they came on last week, including Burnaby, who we'll probably talk about as well, but the past couple of times when he's came on the pitch, he's made use of his time on the pitch, which has been quite good. I don't know what his long term future is going to be like, but it's, I'm going to cough here. What was I going to say? He's there to be called upon, I guess, but yeah. I think O'Reilly at the two of them.
Yeah, the midfield situation, Kieran, isn't exactly ideal without knowing the finer details, which we'll find out tomorrow. I won't ask you about the midfield quite yet. Instead, I'll turn to you for the defence in the left back position. Greg Taylor, talk to me.
I mean, I think it's a huge miss for Taylor to be out. He's been improved himself this season, especially after a lot of criticism last year. People like me have been made to eat their words. He's been a brilliant. I mean, it feels like an addition to the squad when he's just came in and been, like, it just feels like a new player. But with Burnaby, I don't know if it's just everybody's got this general consensus he's a hothead, but I just don't like the idea of him starting on Saturday, to be honest. I just feel like he's got a moment of madness in him, a defensive error that he's going to need to track back and make a stupid tackle or something.
Well,
so
we were obviously talking about it in the way here in the car, and you know, I was obviously bringing up the Hearts game, the decapitation moment of Robbie Nielsen's words, and he was obviously very close and maybe quite lucky to avoid a red card, but it's the kind of thing that I can completely see him getting into Saturday, to be honest.
I know. I'm hoping, just because we can all see it, he just has an absolute blinder of a game if he has to play, but
he's got a cracker though.
He's a left back, but
I think he's very much a converted winger as well. You can tell he's played as a winger earlier on in his career, and that's not really worked out for him, so they've put him back there. But I just feel like he could be the leveller for Rangers. I don't want to say that, but he's the player that they could get at. Yeah. You think about players like Morelos, that's the sort of guy that he could wind up and then he kicks out or something. I don't want that to happen, but I just think he's either going to have a masterclass or a disaster class. There isn't going to be an in between with Burnaby. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope it's in the masterclass side.
Yeah, me too.
I hope it's in the masterclass side. I can see what you mean though, because I feel like he's the kind of player that, you know, it's very stereotypical to say with the managers, but managers often, you know, if they know there's a hothead in the other team, they're like, get in amongst him, try and wind him up. And I can see Burnaby taking the bite. I can fully see him taking the bite. I mean, he stuck the head on somebody in his last game for Lanús.
That was basically when he signed for Celtic. I played that last game. He was headbutting somebody.
I know.
And he's watching the Rangers assistant manager.
He came to us fucking 2 weeks later, and we've yet to see something like that, but I'm hoping it's not this Saturday, Kieran.
Nah, unless we're 3-0.
animosity between the teams, but not at the jeopardy of 3 points.
It's mental to say that, like, Taylor's kind of like our safety net with all of this, because even in the past you were like, oh, we don't know if we want Taylor in the team, but this just shows you how much of an improvement there's been when Taylor's been under Ange. So I would like to see Taylor in that team. As much as I did enjoy Burnaby's performance and goal, I would really like to see Taylor in that team.
See, the thing is, we, the left back position, but you know, we're talking about, we don't have half fit Rio Hitati to start because we've got a lot of options. Does that extend to Greg Taylor because Burnaby is the only option we've got in backup?
I think it's because we are more stacked in midfield than we are defensively. Because the thing is, with Greg Taylor, people are saying, Ange was saying after the game it was a dead leg, so we were like, oh, could run that off in a couple of days. But the fact is, we haven't seen him in the training videos either, so that's quite worrying as well.
I think if any of the two of them are going to get wrist, it would be Taylor.
Yeah,
I think just with the position, I think Hitati, as we were talking about, him full fitness is why the first name is on the team sheet.
Absolutely.
Absolute silky player, but half fit. We've seen him last season when he was getting a wee bit fatigued and that. In the midfield battle, you don't want somebody that's not at 100%. So I think it is just a circumstance that
we fight ourselves here, mm-hmm. pretty much. There's not much in option, is there?
Nah.
Apart from that, I'm going to open the floor to just general Derby discussion in a moment. You just can bring up whatever points you like. But I'm going to kind of go round you all. Callum, do you think there's anybody else in the team that could be up for discussion? Because I guess, obviously, Owes came in, he's done a good job. You can maybe say that. The wingers. What, do you think there's any big discussions in any other areas of the park?
No, the other one, maybe a wee bit, is also with the sort of the left wing with Maeda. Because you've seen he's clearly still not fully recovered from that injury. I don't personally feel any. Still doesn't look the quality it was until I had that clash with Xander Clark. I think you could put. I would like to potentially see Haxer come in and just sort of play off that left, even if it meant sort of Jota getting back on his comfort side on the left. Because I've seen how well he can do. Look at the first game of the season, the 4-0.
Yeah.
He was ridiculous that day.
And it's like, so you know, good. Obviously you touch on Jota there and being ridiculous. Sorry, pardon me. Haxer looked really good when he came off the bench against Rangers in the cup final. I think it will probably be Maeda. I don't know.
I think defensively, yeah, especially if Burnaby plays. If Burnaby plays, I think Maeda has to play to cover him.
That's a good point.
I would like, if it is to be Burnaby, one of our players to be doubling up on whoever is playing the right wing. So if it is to be Sakala, so albeit if Maeda can't make that track back, even one of the other midfielders drop across with him.
Yeah, somebody
just to give him that bit of support, definitely, I think. Because as Ryan touched on, you can definitely tell he's just a left winger.
Aye.
Never a left back, but
I don't think it makes it into any of the cameras, but there's actually a television at the end of the table here. We should be getting a fucking match of the day screen. I double up here. The Sakala's here, but you know, we want that. Somebody opened their mouth, was about to say something, and I cut them off with that shite. Can anybody remember what they were going to say?
I was going to say something about Cal McGregor maybe playing on the left side of the midfield as well, just to cover.
You often see it, don't you? Like, somebody will often kind of drift it. It's usually Hatate. Usually kind of drift either to the left or right hand side. You see him kind of go a little bit wider, but obviously he's not in the park. If he's not there, then he can't do that.
If that's the case, then I'd play Iwata as the number six and then put McGregor further forward just so he can cover him on the left hand side as well.
In a midfield with McGregor and Iwata, who's the third midfielder? But
O'Reilly. Or Moy.
I don't know if Moy's. You've got two.
I'm not banking on the bald one to be back.
Nah, I still don't think it would be Moy in that midfield. I think it would be O'Reilly. Like, I'm just thinking balance wise in that midfield. Like,
I can see your point. I don't know who it'll be. I kind of pick my three in my head. I'm not looking forward to the team prediction part because I literally
I feel
don't
there's
know
too many contentious positions in it.
We were in a better place a couple of weeks ago with things, but
I feel like the team for the cup final picked itself.
Absolutely.
And this team to an extent does. Like, you get through so many positions and it picks itself, but it's just because there's so many injuries and fitness and you're like, right, well, it doesn't quite pick itself.
You've still got the squad depth to have a good
team. Yeah,
but, I mean, it's just not going to be first choice.
We'll come on to the team selection very shortly. I think we're about 22 minutes in, I think we are. So I'm just going to kind of open the floor to anything that you feel like I've missed that you want to talk about in relation to this derby coming up, any points. One thing, I don't even know if I could be arsed bringing it up, but obviously no away fans.
I mean...
What's that to say, really?
It came out the other week. But, I mean, I was hardly surprised at it. I mean, the supposedly Celtic have asked for the old occasions back. They've said no. Then they raised safety concerns because, I mean, obviously you see stuff about when teams, like, when Celtic fans went to Ibrox getting glassed and shit, kids getting eggs thrown at them. But, fucking, like, just stuff like that. But, I don't know, it's just pure petty squabbles, as I've described it on several times. Petty squabbles at boardroom level that the fans are having to suffer for.
Well, we made a full documentary piece on it, so you know, we've said our piece, right?
I would say it is petty, yeah, but I think Rangers also need to get their house in order.
It was them that started it.
Coming from them. I mean, and they've got assistant managers headbutting people as well. They'll get their fans misbehaving. I know you get idiots on both sides, but I mean, when you're getting glass thrown at you, when Joe Hart was getting glass thrown at him, when the what was it? It was like a coach or something, one of the physios. Aye, that's what I was looking for. But they just need to get it back to the way it was.
I just can't stand the whole no fans thing. Like, it'll be a party on Saturday, I can't wait. It'll be a good atmosphere. We've got the lovely Ellie Dixon in to sing us the Jota song. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, like, the 3-0 game last February was one of the best games, one of the best Celtic games I've been to, but I think we were talking about it earlier, like, it's factors that came into that. It was the first one at Celtic Park in like 2 years.
We were all steaming by 7 o'clock. Yeah, it was so much.
Every kind of half day in, like, it's just like everything just fell right that night, like, fell into place. But I mean, you're not going to get that every time.
No.
So
not.
It's like, you can't expect that,
especially with the airport style queuing system that they're bringing.
I'm really looking forward to that, man. And then what is it, there's stewards on the other side
checking your tickets twice.
Well, that fucking, it's going to be useless unless the stewards have got their fucking running shoes on. They're just going to sprint right up the stairs.
I know, exactly. Oh, well, you know what they're like. Right, let's, as I say, the open floor at any point.
You touched on it.
My belly's bigger, man.
The debate about Kyogo or O starting, I don't think there should be a debate. I mean, I can see the point being made for O. Like, I mean, it's nice to think he's got the attributes, the same Giakoumakis style. When you look at games where Giakoumakis started against him, we've done pretty well, but you can't drop Kyogo, who scored 3 goals in 2 games against him. I mean, if he hadn't scored the goals, then you could have made that argument probably a lot more convincingly, but I think when you've got 3 goals against them in the last 2 games, it's hard to argue against that.
I think we're better playing to our strengths rather than their weaknesses in terms of playing a big imposing striker. We're better playing the striker that scored the vast majority of goals for us this season rather than somebody that has really impressed, but he can impress on Saturday off the bench.
Give us
20 minutes or 25 minutes, half an hour of him just noising them up would be absolutely brilliant. I'd love to see him score on Saturday though.
Oh, it would be great to see him score. Hopefully, the only goal he scored at Celtic Park, I'm sure. How many has he scored at Parkhead?
Two.
Two, right, I must have.
Madman had
that. Yeah, of course. I missed his first one though. Was it a pisser? Mm. I was just remember hearing the darts song playing when I was. Oh, where's the darts?
Seven Nation Army.
What? That's not a darts song, is it?
You're talking about Michael Van Gerwen's walkout song?
Aye.
Is it?
Aye.
Hang on, right, hang.
The darts is.
I feel like a fucking clown, don't I?
If Jack White is watching this podcast, then he's probably shaking his head.
What is it they play when he scores?
Seven Nation
Army. Seven Nation Army, aye, that's why I said it.
Fuck's sake. This whole time I've been thinking, I said that song. For Jesus' son, I'm saying, oh, come on.
Okay. I was wondering about the shouts of 181 at the last time.
You're right. Well, it could be worse. I mean, he's not here. Rest in peace, Kieran McCluskey. He's not dead either. Kieran McCluskey thought it was a real Ferdinand that sung
Take Me Out.
That's even worse. I'll keep that story for another day. Right, team selection. Let's get on to that. And we're nearly half an hour in, so we can wrap up sort of derby conversation. I'll start with you, Callum. Give me your back four.
Johnson, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, and if he's in there, Taylor, but presumably Burnaby.
Presumably Burnaby. No much of a discussion to be had.
No, I'd give him the same boat. I'd rather Burnaby starting.
Any change that sells enforced, so.
Yeah.
But so, then again, it wouldn't be. Well, actually, it would be a change because Craig Taylor started the last game, but Burnaby in there.
The big question is, who joins McGregor? What are the two? Kieran, I think you've made it clear that you want O'Reilly and.
I mean, I think if Moyes fit, I would want McGregor, Moy and O'Reilly, right. But if Moy isn't fit, then I think it needs to be a Wata, McGregor and
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. If I can just escape my
head. Right. Okay, that's Kieran. Ryan, yours?
A Wata, McGregor, O'Reilly. Aye, right. I'd go with that as well. Okay. But if Moy's fit, he'll play.
Right.
He's one of Ange's guys, he's going to play if he's fit.
Right. Calm, you're free.
A Wata, McGregor, O'Reilly, same again, but I think it's just, as I said, with that doubling up, if it was to be, say, Burnaby and Starfelt, they just had to push across, at least a Wata can still cover that gap that would then be created to help Carter Vickers. That would be quite a nice touch.
I thought the door was open there, didn't you see
I heard that wee noise.
I thought the door opened.
It's this chair.
Chair? I'd shit myself if it was the thing. I'm going to go for Moy O'Reilly and McGregor. That's the three I'm going to go for. I'm just going to manifest positive thoughts on Moy being back and being fit, whether he is or not. We'll see. But that's the three I'm going to go with. Another big conversation is the front three. Who starts there? That'll go the reverse way down. Calum, who would be your front three? James Forrest, presumably, in there.
he started the last league game we played against them.
I know, but that's the thing. Andrew always hits you with a curveball.
The last one.
I think we avoided the curveball, to be fair. We managed to avoid one.
Yeah, I'm seeing Rocco Vata rocking up.
Man, that's number 69, Rocco Vata.
No, I think it's presumably be Maeda, Jota, Kyogo.
Right, you're going Maeda, Jota, Kyogo.
I'd imagine so.
Okay, Ryan.
It's going to be that Maeda, Jota, Kyogo, but I'd like to see Haksabanovic in there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Maeda. There's not even a point in debating
you,
it.
So you would agree with Callum?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And Kieran, would you agree with the two boys at the cross for me?
Sorry for it to be an echo chamber, but yes, that was my front three for Saturday.
What's the situation with Abada? Was he ready to play again?
He's out for another week, I think.
Is he?
It was a couple of weeks, he said, and that was
a
week.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Got Mark in the Superstore now.
You've seen him plenty down there. Okay, right, I think we've basically got the same sort of team there. Let us know your prediction for the team in the comments. I'm going to try and get this out as early as tomorrow morning as possible, just give it a lot of time to breathe, because obviously it's nearly kick off on Saturday. So let us know with as much time as there is what you think, maybe before or after Ange's press conference. Right, it's time for the big one then, your score predictions, because you've got to give us a score. Kieran's look, I can see that side eye on the screen there. I'm just like, hello. Right, I'll start with McGinley.
No, please don't.
You wait for these moments. You live for these moments. You deliberately go out your way to make these moments.
Fine.
Right, okay, fine.
We're breaking the 100 goal barrier, 5-0.
My Christ, man. I was going to say 100. No.
No, I'm kidding. No, and it's not going to be 5-0.
Right, okay.
It's going to be 6-0.
Oh, Jesus.
No, 3-1.
Okay. That squeak is doing my nutting.
Is it
you? I thought it was me. Right,
squeak's doing my nutting, and you're shut.
Fucking hell, squeak me. Keaton, your score predictions.
Must do I need to say it?
Ah, 2-1 Celtic.
2-1 Celtic. To be fair, I said 2-0 in the final. End up being 2-1.
Well, do you know? She said 2-0 again then.
But if I said 2-1, it might be 2-0.
Oh, maybe. There you go, I'm just got a prediction.
2-0.
So I've got a 2-0, a 3-1, a 2-1. I'm going to go, I hate to be boring, but 1-0.
No, that doesn't sound fun.
I'm going to go 1-0.
When do we score?
72nd minute.
Oh,
what a horrid game.
I don't like the boring
first half.
Yes.
Listen to that Jota on the wing bird at half
time.
Jota on the wing bird.
I don't know her name.
Ellie
Dixon.
Ellie. Big lizard energy.
Charles coming to the game.
It's Charles. It's Charles. Oh,
Jesus.
My bad. I'm making this the official support podcast, Ellie. I'm all for Ellie Dixon being at Celtic Park on Saturday. I hope to see everybody respect her performance and enjoy it. Get it loudy, hen. That's what I'll say. What are you looking at that for? You're not looking forward to Ellie.
So starving, man.
Putting the simp in Simpsons.
Are you single, hen? Right. Any last final closing word?
Shivered, man.
Oh, I'm so
Liam McGandles is playing as well though, so it evens itself out if you don't like it.
What evens itself? What is this slander for?
There's no slander. I'm happy with it.
Ah, good. Better fucking be happy with it. You better keep your eyes in the fucking right place, son.
Where else am I going to be looking?
Right, final closing statements, your final words. I always ask for these, make them as creative as possible. Usually it's just something like get right in there. Kieran, final words.
No, I'm not going to hit you with a poem, so interim.
What is it? Oh, fair of weather beastie, something.
What?
They've had burns to the
bush. What a pish, man.
I think I got the tune, the fat one. The bell tolls on dinner.
Cheese again. Ryan, the final words, closing statement.
Just want to see Michael Beale in tears and squaring up to somebody.
John Kennedy,
that'd be hilarious, man. Or Gavin Strachan or whatever. Gavin Strachan just whacking him with a laptop.
Like the Raw Anonymous gentleman.
Give a cheer shot.
And McCallum Craig, your closing statement.
Beat the bastards.
Love it. Oh, yeah, I don't know what mine is. Come on, Ellie. That's mine. Right.
Come on, Ellie.
Right. Acting quiz. to change it up today. Hello.
This is all about Ellie Dixon.
Is this like a terrible one? Or?
I'm about to find out. While I look for the quiz.
Before you call it the Ryan McGinley versus Kieran Ald, oh wait, you can mock the camera.
Listen, I can't help it. Sometimes I just get ahead of myself.
This week's pissing me off as well, man.
Today it is tenable. So yous are working. He's what they give on Tenable, didn't you?
Yes,
he's what they give on Tenable. So in Tenable today, we're going right back into the 1980s, which I'm sure you'll be glad. Why are you all rolling your eyes?
Because you're finally there.
We were there. We're always there. And God bless us. We're always bloody there.
Ryan 118 believes in reincarnation. Shocker.
Right. Since it's gone right back into the 80s, he's decided to shorten today's edition and ask for the last nine, not ten. Very generous. He's cut one off. He's asked for the last nine, not ten players to score on their Glasgow Derby debuts at Celtic Park. So the last nine players to score in their Derby debut at Parkhead. The list is focusing on players who made their overall debuts in the Derby at Celtic Park, not just their first game at Celtic Park. So Chris Commons would not be correct, as his overall debut in the Derby was at Ibrox and not Celtic Park. Do you get what I'm saying?
I know
you get what I'm saying, right? So I'm looking for nine.
Dembele.
We're flying. We're off. We're flying here. We've got one.
That's confused. You're talking about 1980.
It goes back to the 80s.
I thought you meant it started down
no.
back.
And
I was like,
right,
we'll be here a while.
That's what I thought as well. No. So, like, we'll pause. We've got one out of nine.
Right.
I should have made that clearer because I thought that as well, but as I read on, I got that. So, it goes back to the 80s, we're saying. That's as far back as it goes. So, we've got our first one, Moussa Dembele, Kieran Old's answer. Well done. Number two. Or any.
Mravchik.
Mravchik. That's correct.
That's a question
again. Players that scored in their Derby debut at Celtic Park. So only players.
Sutton's correct. That's three. We're doing well here. Good off to a good Celtic start. Park. Ryan's Celtic thinking. Park. Thinking faces on for Ryan.
Somebody else do one.
Somebody else got one. You want? That's a really obvious one in recent times.
Hatate.
Hatate, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Well done. Yeah. That's four now. So we're doing well. We're on four out of nine. So that's, you'd be proud of yourselves. Off to a fire. Calm, you're looking at me like you might know one. Dun dun. Dun dun. Dun dun. Dun dun.
Dun dun. My snatch appeal went for
it. Is that easy? You've got it up already?
I thought you were saying
what year did we get at least back to there? Well, I took it too far this certain, but recent times.
Did Larson score
in
his debut?
He's not part of the nine. See, the thing is, right,
what's the time frame like, well, for the most recent
this
one?
This is the point I was going to say first though, right? We've got four out of nine. Kieran said it goes back to the 80s. But Kieran's got the last one, 1998, Mravchik, so doesn't he go into the fucking 80s?
Maybe I meant the 90s.
Maybe he meant the 90s. Maybe he's a typing. He's a busy man. He is a busy man. Well, give him peace because
Gravison.
Gravison's correct. That's five now. Well done. Good answer. I'll tell you all the games when we get to the end. So yous are missing the second and third most recent. So there's two between Dembele and Hatate. That would take you to seven if you can figure out the two.
So it's their
first derby game.
Derby game at Celtic Park.
I'm definitely being heavy stupid here.
Seriously. So they're doing more scorers in the hanging. So
Edwards.
Edwards not one of them.
So wouldn't it? So it's their first derby game Sinclair. At Celtic Park.
Sinclair and Armstrong.
There you go.
Sinclair and Armstrong. Two of the answers. So you've got Hatate, you've got Armstrong, you've got Sinclair, you've got Dembele. You're then missing two, and you've got Gravison, Sutton and Mravchik. So you're missing two players, and they're both in between Dembele and Gravison.
Scott McDonald?
No.
I was just about to say him as well.
Mm-hmm. No, not Scott McDonald.
Hooper?
Yes, Gary Hooper is one of them.
I thought he scored at Ibrox first too.
No,
I remember that really aesthetically pleasing goal he scored. I don't really watch that goal because we get cuffed that game.
Gary Hooper is inherently correct answer, so I'm going to take
it.
So you've got one more. I feel like it's one of the. I don't want to give too much away.
Is that an obvious answer?
Yeah, it should be. I think.
Is this one? Near a Mravchik in that?
A slap bang in the middle, really.
But between Mravchik and
I'll give you one. Do you want a year? 2006.
Zarafsky?
No, it's not
Nakamura.
No, you just got your name, please.
Kenny Miller.
Well done, lad. Hey, you've got it. You've got the nine. And do you want me to read them out very quickly? I'll go from least recent to most recent. Okay. Lubo Moravchik, 5-1 November 1998. Chris Sutton, 6-2 in August 2000. Thomas Gravison, 2-0 in September 2006. Kenny Miller, 2-0 in September 2006. That's 2 in the one game. Gary Hooper, 3-1. In October 2010, we lost 3-1 to Rangers at Celtic Park. October 2010. Moussa Dembele, 5-1 in September 2016. Scott Sinclair and Stuart Armstrong also in the same game. Well done, Callum, for getting those two. And then finally, of course, Rio Hatate. What?
You get one of them.
Oh, well, you were about to say it. No, sorry, Ryan. I don't mean to take it. You looked
very... I wasn't even
listening. Oh, gosh. How are the listeners meant to listen? Rio Hatate was the most recent 3-0 in February of 2022. Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well done. Who got a most... Kieran, you got a good few there.
I mean, I don't know if I got the most, but... I got Gravison, Miller, Moravchuk, Dembele.
That's like five.
Four.
Four?
I don't know if that...
So you would have got the best anyway. Well done. Well done, Kiel. Right, okay. There's not actually all that much to talk about outside the Derby preview anyway, so... Unless you want to open up to any conversation.
Think about what's happened.
There's not been much.
More talk about the Japan tour, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has been. So it looks all but official now that it's going
to
happen.
I'd love to go to that. That'd be great.
Are you going
to
try and go?
Don't have the money for it, but I'd love to go.
It's like a grand.
You'll find out Paul the demo, but
he would earn the new Celtic Sambas.
That's it. He's not taking them off yet.
What's he saying, Cam?
Don't talk to me about
them. I've got
PTSD for them, honestly.
Got the new Sambas in, son.
It's actual. Like, every second customer I have there, take a size of this, size of that, and you have to start telling folk with name. Say, I'll take the half size out then. I don't fucking have them. Leave.
Leave me alone. Honestly. I'm going to get up here.
Aye.
Did even? No, I'm not actually.
You don't dare them in naval boat sizes.
I was about to say, they dare them in a size 13.
They do, but I think they get about 10 in.
Oof. No luck for me, yeah. Apart from that, I don't think there is actually much. I'm looking through.
The game just encompasses the whole week. Everything that you speak about is the Derby game, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, because obviously we've had comments from Callum McGregor, Cameron Carter-Vickers, some of the players have been out speaking, we're obviously going to hear from the manager tomorrow, but it's all generally the same things we would talk about anyway.
Yeah, really. We're in a good place, there's not any controversy or anything, you don't really hear that much. Obviously we've had a couple of scouts coming in the past couple of weeks, which is good, hopefully they're doing their work for the summer if it's not already done. But aye, we're in a good place. Can't really complain about anything that's happening with Celtic at the moment.
No, we cannot. We cannot. Right, we may as well go on to our questions, because we're 42
minutes.
There's
no point dragging the arse out
of it. There's no point dragging the arse out of it for the sake of it, is there? So I'm going to try and load up the Twitter questions on my still locked out, by the way. Still no in. Don't think I'll ever be back, to be honest. I think that's me done with Twitter. To be honest, I was getting there. It was quite shit nowadays. Don't know about yours, but...
I hate it.
It's just a head sore, really.
I like seeing folk make an arse of themselves on it.
That's the one. What am I going to do when I go home on Saturday? See, when I'm done, I'm up the road steaming. What am I going to do?
That's from the hangout.
You're going to phone in Super Scoreboard, don't you?
I'm free in the morning.
Oh, right.
We have a voicemail for
Gordon.
I don't know if you'll hear this.
I've got 2 points.
I've seen that because you don't hear the guy that night and he phoned. He went, oh, aye, it's a good laugh. You need to be a Celtic fan to go in here. But he went on 5 different rants. In that time spell, we said Jamie Murphy was a better player than Ryan Kent. That was
wow.
But then they switched it back to how he'd done his knee and something to do with Douglas Park. It was a fucking rambling ass.
Aye, Dougie Park's away,
isn't he? Aye.
I heard there was somebody phoned up and swore the other night or something.
That was him.
Well, was it him?
It's his name then. Oh, fuck. Did get cut after it?
Oh. Just knew that was going to happen. Right, we'll go into some other questions. So let's hope there's some entertainment in here today. What are you doing if Ange hits your card with his? Says.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, Callum doesn't drive, so Ryan, you only really get to answer this.
What will I do? Clean the insurance, probably. I mean, he's a great guy and all that, but...
You're really pulling up.
We're in a cost of living crisis. The guy can afford it. He can afford to pay mains.
Wow. There you go. Ange. There's your headlines and more records. Celtic podcaster sues man Ange.
Jeez, man.
Why did you crash into me, Ange? We never stopped.
Oh, shite.
You're all
weak, mate. Right. That's a good question, actually. If both of them are probably going to be out, but if you could only choose one to start, Hatate or Taylor, who would you take?
Taylor.
I think just because we've got the midfield depth. But yeah. I mean, Hatate's so good. Like, you really, really want him to start. But then, does Bernabe outweigh that? Like,
this is the thing.
I think it's a tough one.
Does the question mean that they're 100% fit? Because I think
in this situation,
I mean, it's not going to happen anyway. No. So I'm just presuming they were 100% fit.
Taylor.
Calm up you.
It's because the depth that we have there, more than anything.
Taylor's another midfielder as well. The way he plays is inverted. He's good when he comes into the middle of the park.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a good question. Thank you very much to Lewis who asked that. The first one was Celtic 67, by the way, but I mean, I think everybody does about 10 accounts on Twitter with that name. Josh Bolden asks, we've answered that in the team selection. Sorry, Ross. Was I say Ross? Josh. Sorry, Josh. I've lost the replies. Next question, Mark McQueen. What Celtic player on Saturday is most likely to fly off the handle and do something rash if provoked? Random one, love the podcast, big fan. Thank you. Is everybody just laughing around the table?
Because we know. Laughs
in Bernabe.
Who could it be? Is it Bernabe? Simple as that.
I'd love it to be like a curve, but imagine it was Kyogo just turning crack Goldson. I love him. Kyogo
just sitting in one turn for Kyogo.
It just gets a nasty streak about him all night.
It's Bernabe, though,
isn't it? I mean, you've looked at what he was for a booking already.
Bernabe or O?
O is a good shout. I like that.
I think if O started, he'd get booked. I mean, he came on it and got booked in like 3 minutes, did they not, in the cup final?
Yeah. Right, Aidan asks, do you think we sign a keeper in the summer, or do we give Joe Hart the Champions League again next season? This is one for the summer, isn't it?
Yeah,
it'd be an interesting one, but I'd be surprised if Celtic weren't looking for goalkeepers. Yeah. I'm not saying Joe Hart needs to go, but I'd be very, very surprised if Celtic weren't keeping their eye out for a goalkeeper in the summer.
Because if you look at every other position, we've got contingency plans for when the players leave. You get players on the bench that are coming on. I don't think Sigrist is going to be that guy. I mean, it's good that he's back in training. He'll probably be number two on Saturday. In fact, he will be number two on Saturday, but yeah, I think we should have a contingency plan for who's going to come in after Joe Hart. Even somebody that can be the understudy for a year or two and then come into the team.
Can we just talk about how Scott Bain's got the easiest job in world football?
Love it.
Don't get Cam started.
Clint. Yeah, actually, he steals a wage. He's got the best season ticket in Celtic. Yeah. He's got travelling about and loves a Cush Delice style.
I'm jealous.
You got to respect the graft.
And that lack of graft.
Lack of graft, yes.
Look at Sigrist, he's got a better. He's got a better masses.
Oh, is he?
I feel like he's always just in Paris.
And Belgium.
Just putting up photos of fucking anywhere but Glasgow.
Gets around. I've just asked that. Reese asks, Hacksack Cam this weekend?
I would like to see it, but I don't think it will happen.
Okay, simple answer.
Yeah.
I think that's probably much my answer as well, to be honest.
I don't think there's any way it happens, but I mean, you've seen he's good in the number 10 role, but maybe just drifting in.
He's like, sorry, on you go.
No, if it was at a time we played like that 4-2-3-1, then maybe, because you've seen it well, you know, same result, constantly drifting in.
Yeah.
I've seen Hacks as that player, maybe then, but not so much now, obviously.
It's such a, what's that word again?
Dilemma?
No, not a dilemma. I can't even remember the word that I was going to say, to be honest. I'm having a nightmare.
Cumbersome?
No, it's a bit of a like. I can't even
testicle.
But I can't wait. A cliche. That's the word I was looking for. I forgot about that. It's such a cliche, but I'd like to see him with a full pre-season, like an absolute full pre-season. When he goes full pelt next season, I think it'll be a joy. It'll be a joy to watch.
Yes, I agree. Right, Kieran Selick, your quiz master. He is in. He's got a couple of questions. He's put it in screenshots because it's that fucking long.
It's done a Charlie Adam.
Main question is the screenshot, but my side quest question is which Celtic Twitter bird would you send into a charity? I was making sure what the question was before I read it. I just seen Celtic Twitter bird and I was like, whoa. Which Celtic Twitter bird would you send into a charity boxing match to smash Adam Lallana Wolf about? I don't know.
I don't really know any by name, to be fair.
I'm in big trouble.
No, I've got to say. I don't know.
I probably spoke to the half.
Send in the meanest.
Send in the what?
The meanest.
The meanest?
Right, you fucking punch fuck out of Lana Wolf.
Who's the meaner? Oh, oh
Jesus. My Jesus Christ.
Fuck, that's the thing, because Rangers have got Lana Wolf, Hibs have got Jane Park.
Who have we got? Somebody needs to step up to the... Whoa.
I get the mega Tory Michelle Moon, but, you know...
Who's Michelle Moon?
That Tory peer person, Wonderbra person.
Mate, is that a blank?
The one that grassed on Charlie Mulgrew.
No.
All right. No, I don't know.
How much a Celtic fan she does that, eh?
What's her name, Georgie Lyle? Well, she slept a bit with Van Dijk, didn't she?
She the...
Does that count?
Aye, I suppose, aye.
Aye. Listen, my conversation.
Move on.
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Oh, I don't want to keep it to yourself, son. Right, firstly, thanks to Kieran Old for having me on for his uni assignment regarding the away allocation. As you could probably tell, I was getting ready to ramble 10 minutes of shite that he had to cut short like Gary Hood's latest haircut. I didn't realise Kieran came down.
I know, he was down just before you came down.
Oh, was he? Didn't even hold it to see me. Not even say hello. Terrible. Is he not working?
Don't want to give away too much.
Easter holidies.
Oh, aye. Sure is. Aye, everybody's half. Right, okay, secondly, as Scottish football fans' involvement and passion for the game is getting to a new level. From the newfound love of the national team to fan owner... Is there a newfound love for the national team? I hate them. I'm joking. From the newfound love of the national team to fan ownership at the top level all the way to adaption of the ultras culture, is it not ironic that it's those at the boardroom level at one particular club who are insistent on trying to keep fans out of grounds and ruin the atmosphere at the so-called biggest derby game in football? Oh, that was a mouthful.
And a nice wee concise question for Kim.
Does he want to write the rest of my dissertation? Because I think he can get up to the word count pretty well for me.
That was a long
did
one.
Did he throw a fucking comma in there?
Yeah, a couple.
There's a few commas in there.
A couple. So, Rangers,
bastards.
Simply put,
sanitising the greatest derby in the world.
Sanitising it, like, a wee bit of, you know,
COVID safe.
Yes. COVID was the reason for the success, wasn't it? So
well, that is, I just hate, I'm fed up talking, they're never going to do anything until they start winning again, or they have their own way. Fuck them, I hate them. And they're not going to change it anytime soon. So I'm not going to get my
hopes. It does feel a bit futile talking about it, because it just feels like it's just an issue that's not going to get resolved. Certain people don't want to get around the table and hash out a plan.
Yep. Right, okay, this is a weird three players to pick.
I think it's to make it harder.
But, okay, Kieran 1888 has asked, sell one, bench one, start one, Hitati, Kyogo and Greg Taylor. Callum. It's a weird one, that.
Yeah, but it's just so you can get baited into saying you would sell somebody. The obvious one is start
Kyogo,
right.
Bench Hitati and sell Greg Taylor.
Oh, I think that's the only logical one. Like, see,
is this for the weekend?
No, like, I think it's just meaning in general, because you can't sell something before the fucking weekend.
I mean,
as much as you think Taylor's a good part of the team, realistically, if you could keep Real Hitati and keep Kyogo,
you're going to do both of them.
Mm-hmm. Nothing against Greg Taylor, just
I'd probably start Hitati, bench Kyogo and sell Taylor. That'd be my three. So I'm just flipping with Callum there. Maybe you can.
No, I just said.
Oh, what was yours? Sorry.
The exact same as what I said. There's only one logical answer to this question.
But Callum gave a different one to me.
Did
you? He said start Kyogo.
I said start Kyogo. I think it's 50-50 on that, but start Kyogo.
Okay, so it's two start Kyogos. You're going to start.
I'm pleading the fifth on this one. That one's really, really hot my head.
What do you mean you plead?
I've pleaded the fifth. I'm not speaking on that one. I don't want to answer that one. I don't want to sell any of them.
Right, we're not going to sell them tomorrow, mate. It's fine. You know, right.
But they're all sitting in the boardroom and doing the house. Put one of the guys.
It's all right, like, Cam. Fucking Greg. It's
I love them all.
We all love them all. Just pick.
Feel bad doing that.
Well, moving on.
Thanks. I plead the fifth. That means I wasn't going to speak.
Ryan. Top three derby goals. Nah, too long.
See, Phil's commented as well.
Is he?
Our mate Phil.
We'll get to Phil in a moment.
I seen that. Did you see? Obviously, Smythe put it to back in January, I think, February. And it was like the goals videos of the goal against them for 2007 to, I think, 2017.
Yeah.
But somebody's done an updated one. It's for the 80s.
1980 to 2023.
Two in 20 minutes, I think it is. It's just, I seen it in the decor. Brown, I like that, so I can get back to it. But don't know if I'll go back to it soon if it's that long.
Watching it a few nights.
Binge of the goals.
There's a letterbox section for that, that's you can watch it. What's your Cal was in as always. What's the best RB goal technique slash skill wise? Larson's chip.
I mean, in recent times, Jota in that game.
I'd say that then Larson's chip.
I mean,
it's because of touch for Jota, but then Larson to take it.
Probably more technique than Larson, but I mean, see, just like, I couldn't believe Jota actually go in the end of that.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like doing the split, Stephen.
Try and touch it in the first place,
Ryan.
I'd say Larson's chip.
Right.
The fact that Jota was even acknowledging it on that video as well. He was just loving the.
I don't think I've seen
Larson's is obviously number one, but Jota's.
Jota's the best one.
Jota's definitely one, like, it'll be remembered for a
fondly,
long time.
Very fondly. Kieran, you've got your answer to this. I know you have anyway. Best scran you've ever had abroad, says Sambappy.
The fake Pizza Hut in Zante. Pizza House. I don't know what it was about it. It wasn't even like pure, it was special.
Yeah, we don't mention them on this
podcast. It was just, I can't describe it. I mean, I've had plenty of nice pizzas since, but not no ever touch it. And I don't even think I would want to go back and taint the memory. Go back and try it again, because it's just perfection in my head, didn't it? I think I would rather the memory.
A one and done sort of thing.
I think I agree with Kieran. I don't think I've had food better than that abroad, especially pizza like that abroad. If you're away to Zante this summer, down the bottom end of the strip.
Across for the T's Zante Hotel.
What was the name of the place with the woman stood outside? She said, can get you a free skittle bomb, blah, blah, blah. Right across for it. There was a, what was that called?
It's going
to annoy him all night now. There was this bar right to the bottom end of the strip. Between the hotel to Zante, you'll see it. It's a fake Pizza Hut and a fake KFC. Was it? There was like two
fake KFC and then Pizza House.
Get there, get your pizza. If they make it anywhere near the same level they did when we were there back in 2018, you're in for a treat.
So good.
I highly doubt it's still even there.
That place went rubble, man.
Best food you've had abroad?
I don't know. As much as it should not be, a Cheeky Bastards pizza was lovely, but it's the sauce there than it.
Yes, Cheeky Bastards. I love it.
When we were in Leipzig, and it was that Philly cheesesteak, it was actually falling apart in the morning of the game. Oh, it was fucking delightful.
Aye. Ryan, you got any shouts?
I've got two. I'll say them really quickly. Does Dublin count as being abroad?
Aye.
But went to that Conor McGregor's bar, that Blackfold Gin. It was really, really nice. I had, what was it I had from there? Fish and chips. And then in Tenerife, there's this sort of like tandoori Indian Bollywood. We sat in, it was just the best Indian I think I've ever had. I must have been really hungry that day, but I absolutely loved every bit of it.
Nice.
It was just, the Boona was just to die for.
Never been to any of two of those places. Neither Dublin nor Tenerife.
You've never been to Tenerife?
No, I've not been to the Canaries at all.
That's basically all I've been on holiday to be fair.
I'm a Balearics man myself. I've been to Ibiza, Mallorca, Menorca.
The thing about Tenerife, everything's there as well for you. Like, it's all within close proximity.
Right, we're turning into holiday reps now, aren't we?
He's travel podcast.
Cheeky Bastard, shout out to him. Doesn't know if this channel or podcast exists, but what a fucking legend. Any superstitions? I think we've covered that before.
I mean, I don't even know if I've got some anywhere, but I've got certain taps I won't wear if I've been beaten, if I've worn them, even though it makes no rhyme or reason. But and I always used to watch the Mad Vice documentary the night before.
I don't know why that was such a
hang. I know. I've watched that about 100 times.
I've never watched it
You never watched all the way through?
No, I've watched clips. Basically, like what Kieran was saying about the TikTok and Forrest Gump, he's probably seen
that's wild.
All it.
Saying that, last season's home tap, first time I properly wear it since my uncle got one done for me. And the name on it, we beat them 3-0. So I'd try and wear it only time I never, fucking semi final. So that's how
I took a risk and wore this season's away tap to the cup final for the first time. We won. So
like
I might need to throw that on again, but just might need to throw it away if it doesn't go to plan.
Just a quick
question. I don't know what I do as a belter.
Just a quick question, you all having a drink before the game?
Nah.
Why would you accuse me of such rogue behaviour?
I don't know, mate.
Am I a Ned?
What was that tweet that BBC guy done? The tweet about the...
He's got to write my dissertation for me, man. I replies to that tweet. He put up a tweet basically saying about the increased behaviour, like bad behaviour football fans linked to the readily available drugs. Wow, how did that touch, man? I can't match for the BBC.
He's a rugby man as well. I'm just thinking this is the pish that we could have got hit with if Don McKay was in charge. Maybe it's for the best he's away ruggered them.
Yes. There's Phil's comment. Hi Phil Smith, who says that his brother's Doug's budgie's pal works at Lennox Town, says that he's
in the names that were given.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I did. And he says 4-4-2 on Saturday. There's a lot of questions this week. There's a lot of questions. I'm not going to get through them all because we'll be here all night. And we've got a quiz left to finish off the show. So what I'll simply say is thank you everybody for contributing this week. So many questions. If you're desperate for some of these questions to be answered, tune into the show next week and we'll get round to them at some point. But to end off the question segment of the show, I'll turn to the man on my right hand side who is an expert in such field. Are you a fan of the Lost Mary or the Elf Barnmore?
Well, now that's a question. You said we didn't want to be here all night, right?
Crystal Bar.
Oh no, fuck. Anything's put me in hospital. That's what I blame.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Right, that's us in terms of the Q&A segment of this week's show. While I load up the quiz, if anyone from the other side of the table you just want to throw in there.
No, nothing that comes to mind.
No.
No.
No, that's not like you, Ryan. Usually you've got something to say.
I know.
I mean, in the nicest way possible.
Shooting blanks here.
You need to stop saying that, mate, every week.
I don't care.
I can tell you don't care. But people are going to start picking that up, Ryan. And, you know, next thing you know, you will be shooting blanks.
Any attention's good attention, mate. So.
Oh, well. I've lost Kieran's chat thread to find the quiz. There we go. Found it now. Right, are you ready? Well. I say, are you ready? I've got to figure out who's playing. Who won last week? Was it Kieran Auld?
Me.
Kieran Auld won in his return. So sorry, Ryan. You're going to be the moderator in the middle.
It's fine.
Because Callum Craig's back this week, which means I'm going to let him actually play. And it's going to be Kieran Auld versus the Callum Craig. I was about to say Ryan McGinley there. Callum, how you feeling, mate?
I fucking hate quizzes. Went to a pub one all night with folk for work. Spot into two teams. Our team cheated and on the phone. Still came second. Quite embarrassing. So if anyone might hear it, get obvious.
Right, okay. Since you won last week, Kieran, I'm going to let you choose if you'd like to be player A or player B.
Player B.
Player B this week, which means I'm starting with you, Callum Craig. Are you ready?
Not really, but we'll go for it.
Okay. With Derby Day around the corner against Rangers. Use some phrases in here I can't really read out in the podcast, but he's given them a few names. Against Rangers. I do like, do you know what? I really do want to read these. They're funny. I don't think I can though. I'll tell you them after the show. This quiz is focused on home games against Rangers. So hopefully a lot of stuff fresh in the mind for you, Cal. Are you ready? A, your first question. Who assisted Leo Labada's goal in the 3-0 pumping last February against Rangers?
Hatate.
Correct. Good start for Calm Craig. 1-0. Player B, who scored our only goal versus the musical chairs at home during the COVID season?
I know this.
Elianessi's correct. Edo. Well done. Question two for you, Calm. Henrik Larsson's most iconic goal for Celtic was the chip in the 6-2 game versus the Onion Bears. Was this our first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth goal that day?
Fourth
goal that day. Well, here's the order. Apparently, the order goes Sutton, Petrov, Lambert. Sutton, Petrov, Lambert, Larsson, Chip, Larsson, Header. Sutton again. There you go. That was your order. So yes, question two for you, Kieran, to take the lead. John McLaughlin's wonder pass for the apples and pears found David Turnbull as he scored the fourth goal in this season's pumping. Who was his initial intended target?
Tavernier.
No. Wrong. Moderator McGinley.
Is it Goldson?
No. Callum Craig, would you know?
No, I got a clue.
The correct answer, Steve Davis. And Kieran has went on to tell us, not a snookers player, in case you were confused. Right, Calm, a chance to redeem yourself and take the lead. Which UK sailing artist once done the Paradise Windfall draw against the Achilles Tears in January 2010?
Oh, no.
I did not know this.
I'm not going to fucking Scooby.
Have a pop. You're not going to get it. You may as well say any artist.
2010.
Who's King of England 2010, aye?
I know.
I generally don't, it's annoying.
Get a go.
Oh, fun. Dappy.
No.
Go.
We were talking about this in uni the other day. Is it Holly
Mars? It's Holly Mars. Yeah, I originally thought Susan Boyle, and then I was like, oh no, it's Holly Mars 2010.
Holly Mars. He was greeted with chants of one Joe McElderry.
You just love that. You absolutely love that pettiness. People make Glasgow.
Player B, Kieran, a chance to take the lead again in the last game versus the pubic hairs with full allocations. How many different continents were involved in the scoring?
What, in the 4-0 game?
In the last game versus the pubic hairs with full allocations, how many different continents were included?
Oh, with full allocations?
Yes.
Not me, that's 5-0. So you got Edwards, Forrest.
Calm's fucking loving this.
I just didn't expect that. Did you
say how many continents?
How many continents were involved in the scoring?
Two
is correct. Europe and Asia is the scorers, with Edward with two, Callum McGregor, James Forrest, and Big Tam. So there you go. Callum, you recovered?
Just a bit, mate.
Okie dokie. Right, since player four, which manager in the Niner? Oh, this is right. Okay, he sent me an updated one because he worded it wrong, and he says I'd get confused. So are you ready now? Right. Which manager in the 9 in a row and Ange Ball period has the best home percentage of wins against the 86 rated Rares?
Yep. So what's so far?
Best win percentage. The other derby games.
Overall?
From 9 in a row till now. So you've got a choice, obviously, of Ange, Rogers, Lennon, Kennedy. And Dyla. Sorry.
I'd have just thought Rogers.
No, it's not Rogers.
I would have went Dyla as a trick question.
He's went Dyla. Kieran?
It's 50.
Ange. It's Ange.
Is it?
Right. Ange is a great answer with 66% wins.
Rogers played more, so he's
Shot of
the eye. Didn't
anchor
that.
So there you go.
That's stupid.
I have a feeling that I might have been on like camera free at some point there, so you might have had a black screen for a wee couple of minutes. Sorry if you did, lads. But Callum, you are down 2-1 as Kieran could go up 3-1 here on his fourth question. Are you ready, Mr. Ault?
Yes.
As I switch back to the actual original quiz. Right, since the beginning of 9 in a row and Ange Ball, how many wins have we achieved at home against the Sonny and Shares?
How many wins?
Yes.
We've had since the beginning of 9 in a row?
Yeah, at home.
A fucking sort of question.
How many? That's the sort of question that should have a multiple choice answer.
I know.
Okay, do you want a multiple choice? Calum, should I give him a multiple choice?
No, that's fine, I don't want to cheat.
Alright, okay, he's not want to cheat.
He does it good, not the people at the Celtic store.
How many seasons have I done?
17. 8
home wins.
Since the beginning of the 9 in a row and Ange Ball, how many? They were out the league for fucking 18 years.
I gave him too much credit.
8 out of 14. So there you go. And I don't think any of them one loss. The Gerrard game.
One loss.
Not a bad record, to be fair. Not a bad record. Right, Callum, your final question. You need to get it right to keep yourself in with a chance. Who made the error that allowed James Forrest to win the game for Celtic 2-1 in 2019 against the American Nightmares?
Oh no,
Tavernier.
Mm-hmm. Past. Well, the answer that Kieran has put is makes defenders ba 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 da ba 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 ba. Who's that? Is that Tavernier?
Jamesy Tavernier.
That's Tavernier that made the mistake. I can see it in my head. So,
right, well done, Cam. You're in with a shot. Now, Kieran, it's all on you. If you get this right, you have won the quiz. If not, we take it to the tie-breaking question. How many goals have Japanese players scored at home versus the hip to be squares since Ange Ball came into power?
Two.
Is correct. Well done, Kieran Auld. Just the two, Rio Hatate and that 3-0 win. Well done, Kieran Auld. You're the winner once again. Two in a row. Fine for it. Are you going for the 10?
Yes.
Ryan, since you've not been able to play, I'm going to be nice to you and give you what the tiebreaker question would have been. Okay. Are you happy with that?
Happy's
Larry never been happy.
I'll do it.
Right, okay, since the turn of the century, how many goals have we scored at home across all competitions against the Triffordaires?
Judging by that fucking 2.5 YouTube video.
Have you, just take a pop, see how
97.
Not the worst guess. I'll let you all have a guess. 97.
What was the question again?
How many goals since the turn of the century have we scored at home across all competitions against Rangers?
109.
Ryan's closer.
102.
No. 72 goals. 22 under Martin O'Neill, 14 under Strachan, 1 under Mowbray, 14 under Lennon, 12 under Rogers, 1 under Kennedy, and 8 under Ange. So there you go.
Ange's numbers are great, considering he's only been there, what, a season and three quarters.
Yeah. And that's that. I'm going to wrap up there. I think, Christ, we've ran a wee bit over. 1 hour 10. Not the worst. And that is our big Derby preview show. And we hope we've got you right in the mood for the weekend. Kieran, have you enjoyed yourself?
I just had a blast. Won the quiz again.
Yes, you're on fire. Somebody get him a drink if you see him on Saturday. Ryan McGinley, thank you.
Thank you for having me, mate. Enjoyed it.
You excited?
Not now, but I will be as we get into it. All the other podcasts are doing previews, so I'm just getting through all of them. But I'm really looking forward to the game once it gets there.
Nice. Callum, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You excited?
I am indeed. As Ryan touched on another preview podcast, I'll be after them in Muck tomorrow.
Lovely.
Get work done nice and easy.
Only one show in town.
We're not promoting competition. Hopefully everybody enjoys. Hopefully you all have a good Saturday. Stay safe. Enjoy yourself. And get nice and pissed if you're old enough to drink. Until next time. See you later.